B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help your ratings.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hour number three, Felger and Mass. Again, Agenda Free Friday brought to you by the Bernardi Auto Group. Our thanks to the Bernardi Auto Group for their involvement in Agenda Free Friday. Before we let Gasper go, and he's going to take off a little before the end of this segment because he does have other commitments. Very important guy now, Gasper is. But I want to get back a couple of segments ago where a caller responding to our discussion, Chris, about the inefficiency of the Patriots offense at the end of last year. And you and I disagree on the distribution of blame or responsibility for that inefficiency in the Patriots offense. I think Brady's attitude had a bigger part in it than you do, and that's fine. We can agree to disagree on that part of it. Here's something that I think we agree on, although who the hell knows with the kind of mood you're in today.
It's a fair
frankly.
Point. Fair
so
point,
the caller said that they had to dumb down the offense, that the offense was too complicated for the receivers. And Brady obviously had 20 years in the operation and had as intimate a knowledge or understanding of that offense as anybody, probably better than anybody, maybe even better than Josh McDaniels. But didn't you say at the time, because I think this is a big thing too, that that intelligence gap was a problem, that you had Brady, who effectively in the Patriots offense was operating with a PhD, and you had a bunch of players who had never really run it and were still trying to get their high school diplomas. So didn't you acknowledge last year that that was a problem?
Yes, yeah. Then I think the knowledge gap certainly was a problem. And I think there were times that it held back the offense and times that Brady felt held back by the limitations of the guys around him in terms of their knowledge of the offense and what they could do. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So there was this chasm then, really, between the quarterback and the receivers. There was no real capacity for them to even get on the same page, because again, Brady was doing advanced math when these guys were trying to do addition, totally different, and so they just weren't anywhere on the same plane. The fact that Stidham is on the same plane, or at least closer to it, a lot closer to it, don't you think that can help? Don't you think that that makes it easier for McDaniels to try to appease all people and come up with something that could work that everyone can understand?
It does. And I do agree with you on that. I think, however, it's like a coin. It has two sides. So, yes, they're all closer in knowledge of the offense because of lack of experience. And maybe there's more comfort there. But flip that coin over. As I said during the show, now all of a sudden the offense isn't as intricate. It's not as hard to defend. You don't have all the built-in answers. There's not as much scheming to get open. So that means that the physical ability of those players is now being relied upon more for them to perform. And I think where we disagree is you seem to think that mentally being on the same page will outweigh what I think are the physical limitations, or at least the physical unknowns when it comes to someone like Stidham, of those guys. Whereas I look at it and say, well, if you simplify the offense and you have unproven guys, or in some cases, a guy like Jacoby Myers, who I'm not trying to rip, but you know, the reason he wasn't drafted was because he's not a particularly explosive athlete. He's a very good route runner. He has good hands, hard worker, professional, smart guy, but he ran like a 4.640. He's not an explosive player. And so now if it becomes more about he has to beat somebody else one-on-one, that could be harder for him than having something schemed into the offense that creates an opportunity for him to get a guy on his heels and get open and Brady delivers the ball. And I just think for me, there's not enough of a trade-off there that's going to help those young guys.
Yeah, no, I got you. Less scheming, less coaching means more playmaking, and you're not sure they have the playmaking.
Correct.
That is essentially what it comes down to. Let's try to squeeze in a call or two before you go. Ariel's in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Ariel.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was just wondering, you know, what you guys thought regarding the skill position. I know you guys just thought about it, but I think the absence of Brady, you know, without him having to lift people up, I feel like it's really going to encourage people to really step up their game and possibly, you know, upgrade their current skill set, you know, which ultimately could be, you know, beneficial for the team in the long run. You know, I feel like it's okay, going to...
So this is the only market in America where you could lose the greatest quarterback of all time, and people just unthinkingly think their team's going to be better.
Well, it's that
this is
fan.
Unreal. I'm sorry.
Chris.
This is unreal. It's really... It's a cult. It has just become a cult. Let's just call it what it is. It is a cult.
That's a good way to put it, because that fan base, more than any other, like, they, no one does anything wrong. You know, it's Bill Jong-un who's running the whole operation.
Pretty much.
Goes out in the golf course, finishes with an 18. Everything that he does is perfect. No, there's no bad drafts. No, it's just on the player's behalf. If they didn't work out, it wasn't because of Bill. They weren't able to coach him up. It wasn't anything like that. Everything Bill does is right. We bow to Bill.
See, so these guys are going to be inspired by Brady's absence to become better players. That's where. So Julian Edelman will become a better player because Tom Brady is not there. That's Mohamed Sanu, NFL veteran, guy that's played in a couple of teams, played in a Super Bowl against the Patriots, will become a better player because Tom Brady is not throwing him the football.
No more history of injury issues.
But you know what's so funny to me?
He'll be fine going forward.
It's like when guys like, you know, Chad Johnson and Randy Moss and Antonio Brown would come here, I would hear, well, it doesn't matter what those guys did before. They're going to be better because now they're playing with Tom Brady, and Tom Brady's going to inspire them, and Tom Brady's going to keep them in line. What happened to that? But now that Tom Brady's not here, everybody's going to be better because Tom Brady's not on the team. So why don't we just call it what it is? No matter what the Patriots do, that's going to work, and it's the right thing because they're the Patriots. If they had kept Brady, all these guys would have gotten better because Brady was the quarterback. But since he's gone and they let him go, they're all going to get better because he's not here. I get it.
You know what? Jeez, Murray, wouldn't you know it? It's time for Casper to go. So, Chris, I know you have somewhere to be. So, listen, in all seriousness, you can bolt out of here in mid-segment. Totally fine with that.
Oh, no. I'm sticking it out. Go ahead.
All right. Okay. Yeah, You're welcome to stay.
I'm finding this to be a cathartic experience. If you haven't noticed.
No, I wanted to give you the latitude to leave. I don't want to be blamed when you're
late.
Chris,
always be
gig.
Happy to take your anger out on the show, and especially the callers, which Maz is probably going to punch up now.
Okay, John and Marlboro, go ahead. Go, John.
Yeah. So, can you hear me? This is. I think this is just going to come down to quarterback play. I mean, we don't know this guy, Stidham. We don't know what he can do. If he's average, this is going to be an average team. There's nothing about this team that says they're going to uplift a mediocre quarterback into great team play. If he's very good, if he is Steve Young following the legend, then the team could be very good. But we just don't know. And just as it is across the whole rest of the NFL, it's quarterback-led, and if he's just average, they are going to be average.
Yeah, well, way to go, John. Aim low. Steve Young. Yeah, that's why aim high? Shoot for Steve Young. I'm not looking for Steve Young, Gasper. I'm looking for somebody who can manage the team and not turn over the football.
Sure.
And complete, I don't know, in the low 60s in terms of passes, a percentage of passes. I think that if Stidham can do something like that, and these guys got all over me the other day because I said, 18 touchdowns and 10 picks. They need more touchdowns out of it. I'm not sure that Belichick does. I don't care how they score, but you want to tell me it's 20 and 12, 22 and 13, whatever it is, I'll take it. I think to me, as long as Jarrett Stidham avoids mistakes, they're going to be fine.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I picked them to go 9-7. I think they'll make the playoffs. And you're right. That's all they need. You know, but I don't think that means the offense is better. But if he can go out there and not, Belichick has always said this, the two most important attributes for any quarterback are accuracy and decision making. If he can go out there and be an accurate passer, complete the throws that are in the offense and not turn the football over, make some plays with their defense, they'll be fine. You know, they'll win 9 or 10 games and they'll be in the playoffs. They just won't be what we're used to seeing, which is a team that at the beginning of every season, you're like, man, they're going to win the Super Bowl. And when they don't, you're like disappointed. I think the Patriots could have a very good year by winning 9 or 10 games and getting bounced in the first round of the playoffs. To me, that's the Brady effect. Like, you have to change your expectations. But I'm not hearing that. What I'm hearing is, this guy's gone. We're a better team. So we went 12-4 last year, and we're like a legit Super Bowl contender with a very disappointing end to the season. But it's now this year, since Brady's gone, we'll probably go 13-3 and win the whole thing. And I'm like,
Chris,
huh?
Chris. Quickly, before we let you go, I just want to ask you about the reports out there today concerning the NBA and the reluctance of players maybe to show up in Orlando and play, the involvement of Kyrie Irving in this, and this all emanated from a report from Howard Beck of the Bleacher Report. I don't know if Matt McCarthy has the tweet right up in front of him or not. Actually, I just found it. Howard Beck tweeted, there's growing concern RENBA's bubble plan. Players want more freedom of movement while in Orlando. One agent estimates... Murray, I did the same thing that you did.
I don't know why
one
I
agent
kept saying
estimates that 2/3 of the top 40 would refuse to play under the proposed restrictions. What do you think?
Yeah, I find this really interesting that Kyrie Irving, who wasn't going to play at all, is sort of the leader for this. And if there's anybody who fancies themselves a pseudo-intellectual and who deals in sort of, I'd say, you know, pseudo-science and pseudo-history and pseudo-sociology.
How about pseudo-life?
It's Kyrie Irving. I'm going to be honest. This is just my opinion. This is my opinion. I don't immediately see a negative connection to the players playing, given what's going on in our country right now in terms of bringing awareness to systemic racism and social inequities. I don't make that connection as an African-American. Maybe other players would. I don't make that connection. Doesn't mean it's not legitimate, but I don't make that one. And then the other thing here, I think, is sort of the freedom of movement thing. And, you know, really, is it about, I understand their reservations. I think the NBA should let the families come in a little sooner than after the first round. But is it about wanting your family to be there, or is it just like you don't want to be contained in this environment? In other words, is it a family thing, safety thing, or is it more like a personal freedom thing? Because what I'm picking up on is it's more like personal freedom.
Yeah, we got Instagram hosts to go meet up with.
Yeah, pretty much.
Seriously.
And I think that there's just a lot of people that have had to make sacrifices during this thing. And I just feel like this was negotiated by the NBAPA. There was an opportunity to speak up. I've read in some cases where some of the high-profile players who are head of the NBAPA, like Chris Paul, and I'm just saying he's one of those players, he hasn't said this, but anonymous players have said some of these players now complaining were like impossible to get a hold of and didn't show up for any of the Zoom calls where they discussed this stuff. And now all of a sudden at the end, they want to hold it up. Does that sound like anybody that we just talked about that maybe wouldn't be on a Zoom call and would be impossible to reach to discuss these issues?
Yeah, that's why I would respect it. I said it earlier. I said to you last week, Chris, like if any of these guys like Jaylen Brown look around and say, you know what, things are too crazy. There's more important things in the world right now than me playing basketball. I'm not going to do it. I respect that.
Sure.
But if Kyrie Irving is at the forefront of this thing, I'm going to have a hard time taking it seriously. He's the wrong guy for it to try to head up this kind of message. If these guys have any issues about going down to the bubble city, I'll take it from Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, LeBron James, who's the biggest voice maybe in all of sports, let alone
and he's doing a lot with voting rights.
Yeah, but Kyrie Irving, this space shot who's not even going to play, the wrong guy.
And I love Kyrie. Guy to follow.
You guys know that I love Kyrie as a player, and his time here was heartbreaking for me. And I'm still like torn because I want to give him a pass because I love him so much as a player. But this does seem like the sort of destructive thing that he would do. I feel like it's sort of misguided. Like his heart's in the right place, but I just don't absolutely think that all the logic he's using makes sense or is legitimate.
No logic.
Right. When you put it past him, which, you know, so there's good things going on about, like, you know, tearing down the system and trying to change things. But would you put it past Kyrie to now get on the phone and say, guys, we can tear down the NBA system, man? Like, huh? No, it's pretty damn good. No, we got to tear it down to its core, and we'll start our own autonomous city in Orlando, just like Seattle and Portland, and it can be all NBA players, and I'll be the warlord of it. All right, Kyrie, we'll talk to you later. All right, click. You can't take anything that guy says seriously.
But the scary part about it is, Jim, I know you're saying that, but, you know, and we've talked about this before, and I know we have to wrap up this segment, but he has a lot. He's very popular in the league.
Ugh.
He's friends with a lot of guys, and a lot of guys listen to him.
Well, people want to be in his movies. He'll, you know, if he can help out financially, I get that too. I have some whack job friends that are borderline I shouldn't be friends with, but they can help me out in the long run, so I keep them around.
Chris, I think these guys playing in many cases could heighten their platform. Like, yes. I think it's the exact opposite that Kyrie believes.
I think you can make that case. I think that's fair too.
But in any case, listen, thank you for joining us. All right, always, always good to have you here on Friday. Have yourself a safe weekend. Our thanks to Chris Casper, again, brought to you by the Commuter Rail. Don't go anywhere, because when we come back, we'll play you some interesting comments from John Harbaugh, coach of the Baltimore Ravens, concerning the NFL's return-to-play protocols. I loved every second of this, and not just because I like Harbaugh. I think he's a good coach, but to me, this is one of the things that was said here in recent days that it couldn't have been more, to borrow a phrase, dead on balls accurate. That's next.
It's Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter @Felger and Mazz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Maz.
That guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it. It's impossible what they're asking us to do. Humanly impossible. So, you know, we're going to do everything we can do. We're going to space. We're going to have masks. But, you know, this is a communication sport. So we want to get out there and actually have any idea about what we're doing on the field. We've got to be able to communicate with each other in person. We have to practice, and I'm pretty sure the huddle's not going to be 6 feet spaced. So, you know, I don't know. Our guy's going to shower one at a time all day. Our guy's going to lift weights one at a time all day.
Right.
These are things the league and the PA needs to get a handle on and needs to get agreed with some common sense so we can operate in the 13-hour day in training camp that they're giving us to get our work done. So that's the one thing you can tell by my voice.
Yeah.
I'm a little frustrated with what I'm hearing there.
Right.
And I think they need to get that pinned down. But the way I'm reading these memos right now, it's you throw your hands up and you go, well, you know, what the heck.
John Harbaugh, coach of the Ravens, on a radio show in Baltimore. Jason Lockenfor, I believe, is one of the hosts of that program. And thanks to Jimmy Stewart for tidying up that piece of audio. Because when I listen to it every 2 seconds, I love Lockenfor. He used to cover baseball a long time ago, Murray. He was actually an intern for Buster Olney, if you can believe that. In any case, that aside, not that he needed to know all that, just a little piece of stupid trivia knowledge. Lockenfor, holy crap, he kept interrupting. To edit it, I was losing my mind. I had to give it to Jimmy. I couldn't do it. I wasn't equipped. I didn't have the patience, for crying out loud. But the protocols in the NFL, and Murray, you remember this, it's been some time since we talked about this, some of the safety protocols, guys had to be, like, couldn't huddle up. Do you remember that one, Murray?
Yeah.
I ridiculous. Mean, tell me that's not the stupidest thing you've ever heard.
No, it's just not, it's not feasible. You can't play the game like that.
You know, it's some of these protocols, and they did this in baseball too. You know,
any of these sports, whatever you put out there, I have to think that half of them are like you just nod and, you know, sign off on it and you make the nerd scientists happy and then, you know, you just go back and it's kind of as close to normal as it can possibly be.
And Harbaugh said this in his cut, too, that there was a lot of, as he called it, CYA, which is what that is. Cover your ass so that if someone breaks the rules, we can at least say, well, no, we had it here in writing. You know, we're not liable. You got to blame the jackasses who decided to huddle up and actually call a play. So 617-779-0985 here on Agenda Free Friday. We'll continue with your phone calls. We'll get to updates on the MLB. Talks and negotiations, we have something for you there. Obviously, he's a lot ongoing now in the NBA, as Chris Gasper talked about in the last segment. And anything and everything you want to get to here over the next hour, or a little more than an hour, by all means. Again, 617-779-0985 is your number. John is in. John's on the waterfront. What do you got, John?
Hey, I had a Patriots comment, but that seems to have drifted.
No,
topic.
Go right ahead. Fire away.
I'll move to the Red Sox and why you're not talking more about him in the middle of June as a baseball writer. But I really think MLB is in serious trouble if people start getting a taste of NBA and NHL games in the summer.
Sorry, I let you go. Probably mercifully. So, Murray, can you explain to the caller why we haven't been talking a lot of baseball?
They're not playing games.
They're not even getting close to playing games. And so the only thing to talk about with baseball is the bickering that is going back and forth between owners and players. That's the first thing he was wrong about. The second thing he's wrong about is that he called me a baseball writer. I'm not a baseball writer anymore. I haven't been a baseball writer for about 10 years. So, you know, clearly that's a disgruntled baseball fan who doesn't want to talk about anything else. See, now that guy, Murray, that guy should be agitated because that guy is missing the game. And he wants to take it out on everyone else instead of taking it out on the people in his sport. He wants to blame us for not talking about baseball when he should be blaming baseball for not being on the field already, or at least closer to it. David is in New Bedford on MLB. Go ahead, David.
Yes, I'm actually calling about the NHL. But I was wondering, I saw that they're going to have informal training camp on July 10th. Mm-hmm. Only if they get an agreement with the players to return. I'm surprised they didn't vote on that when they approved the playoff format.
Okay, so Maria, Billy Jaffe talked a little bit about this morning as well. Do you have any concerns about the NHL's ability to get into hubs and begin play, Murray?
No, not particularly. Not not any other concerns I wouldn't have with any of the other sports trying to come back.
I mean, I'll just say this, Maz. I mean, we thought the NBA was pretty buttoned up. We thought the NBA was the first league to be really buttoned up, and now all of a sudden they might not be. I mean, I could see eventually there being problems with these return and, you know, to play and, you know, restarting, you know, these leagues. I mean, who knows, you know, if cases keep going up, like there's so many things that can happen. Let's not put the cart before the horse. I mean, it's nice that we're sitting here talking about the return to play for all of these sports, except for baseball, because they're a bunch of dummies and they can't get it figured out. But yeah, let's just be a little cautiously optimistic about this, and let's not act like this is 100% guaranteed, because it does seem like these leagues still have a lot of things to button up. Like, we don't even know where the NHL is playing yet. So that strikes me as an issue, doesn't it?
Oh, for sure. Look, you know, I think, and I said this yesterday and I'll continue to say it, these sports have addressed their issues in different orders. Baseball obviously is focused on the money first. The other leagues, which are in the middle of their seasons, so there's a big difference there. These other leagues were focused more on the structure and the playoff format and how they were going to, where they were going to do it and when they were going to do it. And then other issues were going to pop up later on. And the one that I think is there for all sports and will be there until the very end, really, it's maybe the one thing they all three of them have in common, is actually getting back in the arena or on the field. And I just think that there is an undercurrent of players in all sports that don't want to play, that look at this and say it's not worth it, that are worried about the spread of the virus, infecting family members, whatever. The overall health and safety and how alarming and, or how shaking this has been to many of us. And so I think this is one of those things to me where until it's actually time to walk out the door and do it, you think you're going to do it, and then all of a sudden it's, well, wait a minute, do I really want to be doing this? And, human nature is a funny thing. I think sometimes you don't actually realize that you don't want to do something until it comes time to commit to it. So to me, I think you're going to see this in a lot of sports. Now, that said, I am most confident in hockey's ability to return. That's the one I have the most confidence in. And I'm leaving the NFL out of it because they're, to me, a different entity altogether. The season's later on. Like, I don't even put that one in the discussion. I'm talking about the other three. I have more faith in hockey to fight through it than I do the other two sports, and in hockey players to overcome it than I do the other sports, because I think that sport requires an unbelievable level of commitment from the time you're a kid. And if you don't make that commitment, you don't play it. I mean, to me, it's that simple. Anyway, Matt McCarthy is going to get you caught up on all the latest. Again, we have a couple of other things to catch up on here on Agenda Free Friday. We'll continue with your calls. It's really up to you what we talk about largely on Agenda Free Friday. We'll get back to your calls next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Not complaining.
Oh, you're the mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No, 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 no. It's always no.
Felger, Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Look, if Durant does not feel, if he's not 100% physically or even mentally, and that may be the case, he shouldn't come back. Yep. I get it. I'm fine with it. Because the mental hurdles always when you return from a long-term injury, there are mental hurdles for every player to get out there and feel comfortable. But with Durant, it may be even more so because he came back during the playoffs last time and got hurt, even though this is a different situation, and he would essentially be coming back in the playoffs this time. My only thing is this, and I get what Nick was saying about him shutting it down now. That ends all the speculation. It's not a big story or big distraction now. But if you feel good mentally and you go to Disney World with your team, like if I was in his shoes, why not go to Disney World with the Nets? I'm practicing with them. The doctors have cleared me to play 5-on-5. I feel great physically and mentally. I feel good. I'm not hesitant. I'm not overthinking things. I'm not worried about the injury. Why not play if that's the case? I'm just saying, if it were me, I might be open to going to Orlando and seeing how I feel.
We played that earlier in the week, too. Chris Broussard talking about Kevin Durant, who has decided he will not play this season no matter what happens. And I hear that particular piece of news in tandem with today, Murray. I start to wonder, like, I don't know, is this what, did Kyrie know all along Durant wasn't playing? Or now that Durant's out officially, and Kyrie probably already knew anyway, I'm sure I'm connecting dots that don't deserve to be connected. But, is it any wonder that Kyrie has taken the approach he is? He's not winning anything without Durant.
Right. And I don't think that these guys should have, if you're not going to be participating in this tournament, and it's, you know, supposed to be for safety reasons that you want less people around, right, then why the hell do you have any interest in going in the first place? Like, that was one thing that just kind of irked me to hear, that both Durant and Kyrie still want to go down, even though they're not going to play. No, stay home.
I mean, and honestly, if I were the league, I would have reservations about having, you know, extra guys down there. The whole point is that you're in a bubble. You want to limit the number of people that are down there, limit the chance that someone contracts the virus and can spread it. And so if you're not going to play, to me, I mean, if it entices other players, maybe the NBA ultimately is not going to have a choice. In other words, maybe Kyrie and Durant not being there, they have the kind of pull with other guys where they won't show. I'd like to think it's all unrelated, because that'd be pretty pathetic. If a guy has a chance at a championship, he says, well, you know, if KD doesn't go, I'm not going. I mean, I think that would be preposterous. I think it's unlikely. But it certainly feels like the NBA still has hurdles to clear. I mean, that story today that, again, originated with Howard Beck of the Bleacher Report, that players are having reservations about going to Orlando for multiple reasons. And that it's not just a few players. According to one agent, up to two-thirds of the top 40 players in the league might not want to go to Orlando. And that's a little scary. Talked a lot of football today, too. Mark is in the car. Mark, what do you got?
Mark, are you there? First time can you hear me?
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, first time, long time. So before I want to preface this with, huge Pats fan, okay? Listening to AM radio in the backyard because they were so bad they weren't on TV, right? So I'm in there. When I start hearing, hey, it's not like last year or the years prior when, you know, we would look at the schedule and say they're Super Bowl favorites, and this team, to go to the first round and get out, well, that's a good thing. Well, guess what? Last year,
Mark, what's the point? Get to the point.
The point is, you know, Brady wasn't good last year. How many times did you say, oh, man, and be honest, that was a crappy throw. He airmailed it, threw it at his feet, et cetera. So now all of a sudden this year, he's showing up early. He's going to camp, you know, and so now what?
And that pisses you off?
College, so he doesn't have to hang with the kids anymore. What, the wife is teaching yoga, so they don't have to hang together. It wasn't about the family. It was about the contract. So just say it. Don't be telling us it's about
Mark,
the kids.
Mark, I'm going to put you on hold because you're rambling. You're rambling. So do you hold Brady accountable for the team's performance last year? Is that what you're getting at?
More than anyone's saying, yes.
Okay. All right. So there you go. Thank you. And so this is where I disagree with Chris Gasper of Channel 5. And Gasper was here in the 3 o'clock hour primarily. And, you know, the Mike Reese report from yesterday, I guess it was. Boy, it seems like a lifetime ago, Murray. The days literally do run together. As Jimmy Stewart says, each one worse than the one before it.
And it's never ending. This is never ending.
But, Jimmy, if we could punch up that Reese report again, because I do think it reflects how the Patriots are looking at it. And this report from Reese sent Gasper into orbit, not because Reese was reporting anything that he deemed to be, you know, inaccurate or that was any reflection on Reese, but this idea that is there is this blind faith in Belichick and the Patriots and that things could work better without Brady is preposterous to someone like Chris Gasper. So go ahead, Jimmy.
Well, Greeny, you know, talking to people around the Patriots, there's an acknowledgement that it's going to be hard to match what they had at quarterback with Tom Brady, arguably, the greatest of all time. But the thought process is that if they can just get solid play at the quarterback position and then improve in several other areas, the totality of the offense could be more efficient. And here's something for you. Last year, Tom Brady led the NFL with 33 throwaways. Now, that's not all on Tom Brady, but a reflection that the overall offense didn't always get what it was hoping to out on the field. So they hope that it's going to be Jarrett Stidham. He's been leading some of these throwing sessions that some of the players on offense have had here outside of Boston, and it's an approach that's similar to really 2001 when Brady was a young quarterback taking over in New England.
I mean, Gasper was insulted by this opinion or take or slant that the offense overall could be better without Brady. Murray, I happen to believe that there's a chance it could be true. I think you feel the same way, but can you remind everybody what your stance is on it?
Yeah, it's a possibility. I mean, I think most of those guys that are returning basically do suck, especially the wide receivers outside of Edelman. And I'm not the biggest Sanu guy, but N'Keal Harry could be better. You know, based on his size, he could be a weapon in the red zone. But I do think that those guys, like a Jacoby Myers, they were tight and worried about disappointing Tom Brady last year. So that, you know, maybe there's something they can do a little bit better. Just in terms of continuity, I think it could. There's a possibility it could be better than last year.
McCarthy, what about you?
This is insanity. It is abject, complete insanity.
You're with Gasper.
Oh, I'm totally with Gasper. The Patriots offense, all of a sudden, just magically better without Tom. What? I'm sorry, what planet are we living on? All right, it would be one thing to say to me, okay, they added, you know, a number of, you know, big-time players, the skill positions and the offense is just going to be better overall, so you'll make up, you know, you'll make up for that even though you don't have Tom Brady. Have you still looked at this wide receiving core? You're counting on two rookie tight ends? Like, this is absolute insanity to me to suggest that they are going to be better without Tom Brady. I don't care about continuity. I don't care about any of that stuff. Tom Brady greater than Jarrett Stidham. It's really not that hard to figure out here, guys.
Okay, so I think a lot of it is going to relate to the play of the offensive line. I mean, Murray, I'm sure you're sick of hearing me say it. I've said it all offseason. The offensive line is an area of concern to me. If they're all healthy and they come back and play well, sure. Yeah, that offensive line could be good. But I just think there are a lot of questions on that offensive line. And I, you know, as it did last year, I think it could really undermine a lot of what the Patriots are trying to do. Tell you what, this guy's been on hold here for a little while. So let me get it out of the way. Tom is in Clinton. Tom, go ahead.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, listen, so first off, I want to say I'm opposed to the Confederate flag and what it means. But yesterday, you three, well, Felger's not there, but you guys were kind of hypocrites saying, you know, last week, the American flag is just a symbol. What's the big deal? Blah, blah, blah. But yesterday, you guys are going crazy over the Confederate flag and how bad it is. And so which symbols are important and which symbols aren't? That's all. I just wanted to hear your take.
Okay. So
the ones you apply common sense to. I mean, what are we doing? You know what the Confederate flag means. It would be the equivalent of going to Germany and still seeing a statue of Himmler. Like, certain things shouldn't exist.
And I would say, Tom, I think the discussion about the American flag and the national anthem was more about the fact that the protests were not really any commentary on the flag or the military. That was really the issue. It wasn't the quote-unquote symbol of the American flag. It was the fact that protests that were taking place during the anthem were not meant as any sort of protest toward the American flag or the military or anything that the American flag necessarily represented. They were protests primarily for the cause that is Black Lives Matter. And so don't confuse the issues. The American South pre-Civil War was a racist place. Fact. So don't try to, you know, come up with a cute little argument by changing what the point was on the anthem protest in the first place. It had nothing to do with the flag. It had nothing to do with the military. So that's how I would distinguish between those two things.
The American South went to war.
Go ahead.
The American South went to war underneath that flag against the United States. That's all you need to know.
I don't know. Some people don't get it, McCarthy. What can I tell you? Agenda Free Friday here on Felger and Mads. We'll continue with your calls when you come back.
Boston's home for sports. Felger and Mads, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Show some, Felger. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay him.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
At some point this week, the NBA is expected to reveal protocols for all players from the 22 teams competing in Orlando for the NBA championship. That plan, of course, will include COVID-19 testing, and there's a lot to put together. They are ready to come back and play on the floor, and our Brian Windhorst is ready to cover it all, and he's been on top of all of this for us really from the very beginning. So, Windy, what is the latest here? I'll ask you the same question. What are the most important things that the basketball fans need to know?
Well, I think if you're an NBA player, one of the things that you have found out in the last day or so is that there's not going to be recreational drug testing in the bubble. And to be honest with you, I get it. They haven't been doing drug testing at all during the pandemic. They are going to do testing for PEDs. But, Greeny, the way this is looking, you are not going to be able to invite your significant other into this bubble for somewhere between 6 and 7 weeks from when you get to Orlando till if you make it past the first round of the playoffs. And you're going to have to be tested every single day for the coronavirus and whatever version of tests that they decide to settle on. Now, could this potentially be a pathway for the legalization of marijuana in the NBA? That I can't say. There's 1,000 other things that have to be negotiated. But, you know, the NBA is trying to come to terms with the players and try to throw them a bone here. And one of the things they're going to say is, look, we're going to look the other way. In a state in Florida where marijuana is not legal, but it is decriminalized and certainly will be decriminalized inside the bubble.
Okay, well, that's a very interesting note there. It's not where I was expecting this to go at all. But candidly, it's the most fun thing we've talked about so far today.
Again, that's Brian Windhorst on ESPN. And, you know, Murray, the farther we get along here, and let me just say as a quick aside, Murray, as you know, I made a hole-in-one a couple of days ago, first time ever.
Yeah. I think the whole world knows, Maz.
Come again?
I think the whole world knows.
Okay. So, it happened to leak out there on social media, McCarthy. But, Murray, the whole idea of this popped into my head only because it occurred to me while I was out there that, man, this would have been a good day to have Murray out here.
Oh, to loosen you up a bit, yeah.
Would have been a good day to celebrate. So I could have used you out there, Murray. I can't lie to you on that one. But I wonder now, hearing all we're hearing about the NBA and these doubts about players going down there, if this isn't the real reason that the NBA said to them, look, we'll look the other way on marijuana testing, on recreational drug testing, because they knew players were having doubts, so they had to give them, as he said, some sort of bone, pardon the pun, to lure them down there and make it more appealing for them to go down to Florida and get in that bubble.
Yeah, but still, I don't even know how much of a give that is. I mean, knowing what I know a bit about the NBA's drug policy when it comes to testing for weed and things like that, like, those guys get a long way of a heads, you know, they get a big heads up. Like, I don't know how much it's even that strict in that league anyway, so it might not be as big of a give as people think it is, you know?
But interesting developments in the NBA, to say the least, about players and their reluctance to go down there. And I, you know, I was joking a little bit, Murray, but it is. I think these are all things that the league is trying to give the players to make it a little more appealing for some of these guys to go down there. Apparently, you have doubts. Tommy's in Lynn on the Patriots and Jarrett Stidham. Go ahead, Tommy.
Yes, Jarrett Stidham. I think he could take us to the playoffs this year as a 12-5 quarterback. We have the good. We have the weapons. We just got to use them right. What's your guys' opinions?
Okay, Murray, what about 12-5? Is that in the cards?
No. That's not even mathematically possible.
Even Felger and Maz, with Felger and Maz math, we couldn't have them going 12-5.
Unless they
Most,
lose.
We have a hard enough time getting them to 8-9, yeah, for crying out loud, let alone 12-5. But
you're counting the one playoff loss, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he thinks they're going to the 17-game schedule already. I don't know. I have a hard time giving him the benefit of the doubt on that one, Murray. And that's not him specifically. I would say I wouldn't give any of our callers the benefit of the doubt on the math. Jeff is on the Cape. Jeff, what do you got?
Well, in spite of the fact there's a short preseason in football, perhaps, it seems to me the Pats should look at college basketball to come up with a tight end. You got a lot of 6'8 guys that didn't get their NCAA tournament. They may not have a chance to get to pro basketball as soon as they'd like. And this is, and there's some terrific athletes there. And supposedly it wasn't a great year for the draft for tight ends. And there have been some good college basketball players that have been great tight ends in the NFL.
Okay, Jeff. On that note, we are at the top of the hour in our longest commercial-free segment. Matt McCarthy has your headlines. No commercials. Don't go anywhere. He'll get you updated on the latest, including another offer for major league owners to players that the players have 2 days to accept before it expires. Matt will update you with all the latest on that before we return to Agenda Free Friday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.